fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Welcome to the Tuesday show, December 20th, holiday time. Getting ready for really fun weekend. Games are on Saturday this week, so make sure you get your lineup set. We got a Thursday game, a bunch of Saturday games, a few Sunday games, and a Monday nighter. Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, welcome to the show. Waiver wire for week 16, a little bit of week 17. How many championships are we playing for this week, guys?
I've got three.
Yeah.
Five.
You know, I got the best job in the world.
Oh, no, don't say zero.
I get to live in Florida and work with you guys. It's a great time to be alive.
No, Heath. None?
It's a great time to be alive.
All right, well, if you want to set a lineup for me, I'm in two. You can help me.
It's a, you know what? You're pushing your luck.
Oh, all right.
I was going to be nice to you today.
Why wouldn't you be?
I never am.
He admitted it.
Make it pretty difficult.
I make it difficult?
Yes.
Come on. Look, I'm in this great chipper mood today.
Good. Me too.
I don't get that sense from the Fort Lauderdale crew today. I feel like something's wrong with you guys.
It's week 16, buddy.
I'm excited. This is what we live for.
Jamie hasn't quite recovered from the 4-hour radio-a-thon on Saturday night.
Dude, that was awesome. Thank
it was
you so
fun.
Much to everybody called in and listened.
We had calls the entire time till 2 a.m., full board
calls.
What did
we do? 30 calls in the last 15 minutes? 20 minutes?
Yeah, I think we did like 27 calls or something in the last...
No, it was 29.
29? Okay, yeah, it was awesome. We will not have a radio show this week, though, because the games are on Saturday. We will have... If you really want to help us out, we're going to have a Week 17 New Year's Eve Saturday night radio show. If you want to listen to that, call us up. We'll do kind
of
a season recap.
We're going to preview the whole all next year.
Yeah, week one of next year we're already doing.
No, draft prep.
Yeah, I know. We'll do a lot of that. We'll also do some week 17 stuff. I know a lot of you, or some of you, play into week 17. All right, enough jibber jabber. Let's get into the big news. Let's get into the waiver wire priorities. I want to go kind of a little faster today so we can read tweets and emails and personally help as many people as we can. Mike McCoy would not commit to Melvin Gordon this week. And then we've got Julio Jones and AJ Green. Three superstars in fantasy. How many do you expect to play this week? Dave Richard.
Say the names again.
Melvin Gordon, Julio Jones, AJ Green.
I'll take two out of three, Alex.
And which ones would those be?
The ones that play wide receiver.
Ah, okay. Jared Goff is in the concussion protocol. Sean Mannion could start this week against the Niners. Tom Savage is going to start for Houston, and RG3 is going to start for Cleveland. So are there any ripple effects with the quarterback news this week?
Well, holy cow, DeAndre Hopkins looks like he might come alive with Savage instead of Osweiler.
I just wish they were playing somebody besides
right.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup for him, but I still think the targets are going to be there, and I think he throws a much more catchable pass than Osweiler did.
Well, he throws it at Hopkins.
Yeah, tell that to the defensive backs, Dave. They would disagree with you. That, ha ha ha, it's a funny joke. Osweiler throws interceptions.
I gave you a courtesy chuckle.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay, and you know, I was thinking about maybe Kenny Britt against a really good matchup. He's about 80% owned. If Sean Mannion is quarterbacking for the Rams, I don't know how much worse he'd be than Goff. Is that scary away from Britt?
Yeah, I would definitely lower him if we find out that Goff's not playing.
Okay.
I wish they'd go to Keenum.
I don't really think it's much of a difference. These guys are all about the same.
That's to say that they're all crappy.
Yeah.
Doug Marrone, Jacksonville's interim head coach. Any thoughts? Okay.
I think this is where Jacksonville turns the corner, guys. I think Doug Marrone is the answer.
Well, then let's talk about good stuff, positive stuff, your top waiver wire priorities. I'm just going to say off the bat, there is no excuse not to have a good DST this week. I didn't even bother picking up a week 16 DST for any of my week 15 lineups, you know, just the stash one. I had done that each of the previous 2 weeks. But you're, in most leagues, only competing against one other owner right now, maybe up to three other owners. And there just are a lot of good ones out there. So would you guys agree, really good week for waiver wire DSTs?
Definitely. Yep. There's plenty out there that have phenomenal matchups that you could use.
Jamie, who would be one or two of your favorites this week? I know you like the Packers.
I like the Packers. I like Titans. I like the Packers and the Titans.
How about the Chargers?
I like the Chargers.
It's the Brownies.
The Rams. Giants.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the list here. I was surprised that you had the Titans against Jackson at Jacksonville ahead of the Chargers at Cleveland. So right now of streamers, you have the Packers one.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Blake Bortles has been relatively turnover free for three straight games.
It's coming.
It's coming.
But the Chargers lead the league in interceptions. Cleveland's allowed 31 sacks in their last five games.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and play the odds and say the Chargers are the best one to add.
Over the Packers?
Over everybody.
Okay. Would you start them over the Seahawks?
No, I don't think I will.
No, I like the Patriots and Seahawks better than the Chargers.
I have the Chargers up there, though.
Yeah.
I've got Seahawks
and Broncos ahead. Patriots probably should be up there.
Yeah.
Are you cool dropping the Vikings?
Oh, yeah.
Bon voyage.
Okay. All right, so then, Heath, I'll throw it to you. Give me some offensive names that you're looking at on the waiver wire this week.
Oh, man.
Why don't you throw it to me first?
Jamie. I was totally not prepared for that at all.
Jamie, let's go to Jamie first. I was just kidding, Heath. Jamie, give me some names.
There's a pair of Henrys, Hunter and Derek. They could be really good this week. Should be really good this week. I still think Kenneth Farrow has some upside. You know, he'll still get at least the most work against Cleveland if he's the guy. So I would look at him. I would look at Dontrell Inman still against Cleveland. Cameron Meredith has done a very nice job of late. You know, he seems to thrive with the backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you look at the defenses.
I think it's a great week for tight ends.
Yes,
if you really need a tight end. I like Griffin a lot.
As long as Fedorowicz stays out, though, that's the thing.
Sure, that's fair to say. Because if Fedorowicz comes back, then Hunter Henry would take the number one spot. Deion Sims, Charles Clay.
I'd still take Henry first.
I would too, but I'm just saying these are guys, if you can't get Henry for whatever reason, maybe Henry's already owned.
If Fedorowicz doesn't play, Griffin's the number one guy.
Will be my number one guy. I agree. And then I would have Henry 2, Sims 3, Clay 4. But, and then Garrett, don't call me Brent, 5. Selig, 5.
Okay, but really, are we trusting these guys? Because they're no buys. You know, we talk about Hunter Henry, he gets three catches last week was the highest in, I don't know, half a season, basically. But, you know, I'm assuming there are at least 10 tight ends that you have ranked ahead of these guys.
Not all of them.
No, not ahead of Griffin and Henry.
Right. Really? Griffin, for me, is number 10 in my tight end rankings.
All right.
I'm assuming Fedorowicz is not playing. I've got Griffin at number 6.
Wow.
Woo! Here's what you do. If you've been starting Gates, Martellus, if you've been streaming Jack Doyle, if you streamed Austin Hooper last week, Eric Ebron, pad it with him. Get rid of those guys, and you move on to one of these last guys to stream.
Wow. Heath, you're really going to start Ryan Griffin over Tyler Eifert?
Texans are awesome against tight ends, right? How good has Tyler Eifert been lately?
He scores touchdowns, and you said you made the case yesterday. They get A.J. Green back. It changes everything for him.
He could be better, except for the fact that he's playing a team that's really good against tight ends.
I was curious about that because I feel like they haven't really played great ones, but let's look into it. But still, you'd have the guts to do that? I mean, we're talking Tom Savage, Ryan Griffin here.
When one of these two tight ends has gotten most of the work, they've been very good for fantasy. When they've chopped it up, neither one of them has been any good. But when Fedorowicz was getting most of the work, he was a guy that we were ranking in the top 10 almost every week.
And how about the matchup against Cincinnati?
They're almost as bad as Cleveland.
Tight ends in the middle of the field. You know, Ladarius almost had a touchdown last week, and Eli Rogers did have a touchdown. Not that Eli's a tight end, but he attacks the same part of the field.
He's a good upside play.
Griffin?
Yeah.
Lots of volume.
So looking at how the Texans do against tight ends, they've given up the third most fantasy points to tight ends.
Third least, right?
Third fewest. You know, case by case. See how they did against Delanie Walker. They held him to 2 for 34 back in week 4. Hunter Henry, certainly more good than bad. Or, you know, more good defense against tight ends than bad. They did very well against Travis Kelce, Martellus Bennett. Yeah. So it looks like a tough matchup, sure. I don't know. I have the guts to do it, though.
Adam, I can't help but wonder if the change to Savage will kind of re-energize the entire Texans team. Like, I'm serious. I think that this move could be something that could make the whole team better because there's no black cloud wearing number 17 hanging over everybody's collective heads in Houston now.
All right, so we've talked about Hunter Henry and Ryan Griffin. We've talked about Dontrell Inman. Don't be too afraid of the Chargers. They are at Cleveland this week. We know how what kind of points to put up. Again, Kenneth Farrell maybe can have a nice bounce-back game if Melvin Gordon doesn't play. We've spoken about the DSTs. I do want to throw Blake Bortles' name out there. 69% owned, and boy, has he been playing terribly. But Tennessee, right now, you know, Tennessee's clearly one of the best matchups for a quarterback. He put up a big number against them the first time he played the Titans. Would you guys trust Blake Bortles this week?
Doug Marrone, interim head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's going to be the guy to turn around Blake Bortles.
It's not about that. Bortles was a pretty good fantasy quarterback because they were trailing and he would throw a lot. And I could see that happening again this week.
Dude, he is in the tank of all tanks right now.
He's got a lot to play for. They just came out and said that the new head coach does not have to commit to Blake Bortles. He has a lot to play for right now.
He stinks.
He does. I know, but he stinks in real life. He hasn't been that bad in fantasy.
Lately, yes.
Yeah, because he's played Denver and who they have last week?
Houston.
Texans. So, you know. All right, fine. Just bringing
you
it up.
You want to trust him in your championship game?
Heck no, I don't want to.
Trust him in DFS. You know, you're trying to set a unique tournament lineup and you're going to go with Blake Bortles. But I would not go near him in my seasonal fantasy league. I've been playing all year and now I'm going to turn to him.
Yeah.
Kaepernick is a better start. Matt Barkley, Matt Moore, those guys
both
are better.
Both the Mets.
Yeah. Forget this.
Okay. My bad. And Zach Ertz is 81% owned, so he's playing really well. He's got a good matchup against the Giants.
He's my number one tight end this week.
Oh, how about that? I'm going to give a few names that are about 80% owned that might be available in shallower leagues. Crazy things happen this time of year. But let's talk about last night's game. Carolina 26 and Washington 15. How about this tweet from Matt Geiger? Isn't that the guy who used to play for the Heat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
This is how the semifinal of my home league finished. The Crowder fumble gave my brother the win. If you
no
missed
way.
It, Crowder got hit in the face and then he fumbled on Washington's last play of the game. Hmm. And then this one's even better. This is from J.D. Reed from Nob Hill, San Francisco. It says, Dear Brian, Mike, and Dick. Brian. Bears?
Linebackers.
Bears, yeah. Linebackers.
Listen to this unbelievable finish from last night. I needed every tenth of a point possible from Kirk Cousins to claw my way back into the fight and get it all tied up at 90 apiece going into the Redskins' final drive. My woman, the number 4 seed, her name is Jamie, she was in another league with Hopkins as her kicker while going against the number 1 seed and Jamison Crowder. So the number 1 seed had Crowder. She was down, but it was very close. On the final drive, Cousins completes that last pass to Crowder, and I get the win. And then he fumbles, and she gets the win. Can you believe it? We both moved on to the championship game, her first, based on that final play. That was the best finish ever. We are one big happy fantasy family right now, and I'm loving it, JD. Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we got some really good stories. Like, people get so into it. I love it. It's really fun to read, and it's very emotional. But I think a lot of people were relieved to win with, like, Carr or Cousins or Brady in their lineup. And then some people were elated because Crowder.
I hate
bubbled.
You, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, sorry, man. That was a weird game. All right, so anyway, there were some injuries in this game. Luke Kuechly didn't play. He was cleared but didn't play, so does make you wonder if he'll play again this year. And the Redskins were without linebackers Sua Cravens and Will Compton, and you saw Jonathan Stewart at a huge game, and then Ryan Kerrigan left, and cornerback Quentin Dunbar got hurt. And Jordan Reed punched Kurt Coleman, I believe, in the helmet. Never a smart thing, and he got ejected.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's a gator. So Cam Newton, 24 fantasy points, 12 or fewer rushing yards in 4 in his last 5 games. And he's the number 14 quarterback this season, but was number 4 last week. You guys have anything to say about Cam Newton?
Played great.
Yeah, he did.
It kind of seems like he's just decided he's not going to run that much because he's...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Because he's getting hit all the time? He doesn't want to get hit anymore?
Right.
He's not getting flagged for it.
I could not believe they didn't throw a flag on that slide.
And then they gave him for taunting.
Awful.
Yeah. Well, he should have gotten the taunting call, but he, as Jerry Austin said, should have been offsetting penalties.
Well, like rolling the ball in the direction of another player that doesn't actually touch them probably shouldn't be taunting.
He threw it at him. Not rolling at him.
The ball. He had every right to be pissed.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like 2 to 3 feet off the ground.
But it's against the rules. Can't.
And it didn't touch him. He didn't like hit him with the ball.
Man, I would love to see you go bowling, Heath. If you think that was rolling, you just like chuck the ball down the middle of the lane.
He didn't throw it overhand. It was underhand.
Who's a better bowler between the two of you?
Definitely me.
I got yelled at for doing that once at a bowling alley.
You say you?
Definitely me.
Definitely you?
I'm assuming Adam uses a 6-pound ball.
I think Adam probably uses the bumpers.
No,
First off, I don't think they have a bowling alley in Adam's apartment, so I doubt that he's been bowling.
No. He's got probably the Wii.
No, I don't. But I did Wii bowling it last month. You go bowling, Heath. What's your score?
Oh, I don't know, 140, 150?
Yeah, I could be anywhere from 100 to about 160, but usually I'm around 120. So
all right, that's our next bet.
You don't get to use the bumpers.
When you come, the next time you're down, we're all going bowling.
I'm either a striker or a gutter ball every time, and I rarely break 100. I'm the worst. But I got the body for it.
Yeah, I'm not actually good at it. I'm just assuming that I'm better
than Adam. At least you probably get triple digits on the regular, right?
All right, assuming I have 5 working fingers, we're going bowling next time.
What do you get when you bowl, Jim?
I'll be anywhere between 120 and 150.
All right, so I'm going to be dead. I'm going to need some points in this.
So me and Jamie versus Dave and Heath. Also, I would like to remind Heath that he did say he was going to be nice to me today. So
yeah,
you haven't really held up your end of the bargain yet.
Have I been mean?
Not mean.
Thank you, Dave.
But have you been nice? You just
I really like doing podcasts with you.
You insulted my bowling skills.
You don't have bowling skills.
Okay, fair point. So back to this game, Ted Ginn. Somebody asked me, can I drop Kelvin Benjamin for Ted Ginn? That's a no-brainer, right?
Yes. We've been saying it for a few weeks now that this is the guy who looks like the number one receiver in Carolina.
He almost had 2 big plays if he could catch.
Yeah.
What was he doing on that play?
He was like making a helicopter with his arm.
What was that?
I don't know.
So weird.
Just warming his hands up.
You know, actually.
It was so weird. First, I didn't know what he was doing. Then when you saw the replay of it, he was signaling to Cam, like, I'm open, I'm open.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept signaling to Cam, like, I'm open, I'm open, when he didn't get the ball.
So weird. I was wondering, Jamie, you have him a little low in your wide receiver waiver wire priorities. You have Inman, Cameron Meredith, Garcon, Robbie Anderson, Chris Hogan, Kenny Stills, Marquise Lee, Ted Ginn.
Well, he's still Ted Ginn.
4 of his last 5, he's had big game.
Yeah, so the Falcons have played better, though.
Yeah. Okay. He's right. When he's bad, he's really bad. Greg Olsen, another good game. Lost me a fantasy week. And Jonathan Stewart had a great game. All right, I think we're cool there. Kirk Cousins struggled, and DeSean Jackson. You know what was great about DeSean Jackson? His long was 23 yards. They gave him 10 targets. You know, he changed his routes. He didn't just go deep. He was very involved. What is your take on the 3 receivers for the Redskins right now?
DeSean's the most reliable of the 3.
He's the best of the 3.
Well, it makes sense.
That the big change, I think, last night was if they're going to use DeSean like that, then Jameson Crowder is probably a number 3 at best.
I think he's below
that.
He's
doing
now.
All the things that Crowder does.
Right.
Carolina decided they were going to play their safeties deep and they're not getting beat deep.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of this season, that would have just meant that DeSean Jackson was going to be irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd throw the ball to Crowder and Garcon.
Right.
And instead, they just had Jackson run those short routes, and he did a couple of the catches he made.
Oh, the 2 sideline plays where they had to challenge him.
Good
were awesome.
Gosh. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And how about the first down he picked up when he juked Kirk Coleman? And I don't think I think that was the Rob Kelly touchdown drive. That was nice too.
That was their only touchdown drive.
Yeah. I don't remember if they scored on that drive. I think they did. Right? But whatever. And, what'd you think about Rob Kelly? You know, you kept talking about how they were trying to get him more involved in the passing game. I didn't really believe it, but you were right. 4 catches, 47 yards, 9 carries for 8 yards and a touchdown. That was weird.
He's gone in reverse. Remember when he had more receiving touchdowns than receiving yards? Now he's a much better receiver than he is a rusher.
And I think that had a lot to do with what Carolina decided to take away.
Right.
Because he was catching the ball with no defenders within 10 yards of him.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't really think he's a better receiver than a rusher, but it's nice that he's involved in the passing game.
Right.
Good matchup this coming week.
Oh, he's going to bounce back in a big way.
Yeah, I've got him top 10.
Listen, people shouldn't be unhappy with what he did last week. We're going to say bounce back, but the only thing he's bouncing back from is averaging less than a yard a carry. Everything else was fine.
He was terrible. He just got a touchdown.
He had 40 yards receiving. He gave you double digits and fantasy points in the most awkward way possible.
It's an awful, awful matchup.
What is?
Carolina defense. They're very good against the run.
And well, they hadn't
even without Kuechly.
They hadn't been without Kuechly.
No, that they had played two games, I think, without Kuechly, right? And they were good once.
Three?
I think they were good twice, weren't they?
They were really good twice and bad once.
It may have been three when he left the game, because Hightower went off when he left the game.
Well, that is true. But they played well without him, was against Oakland. I don't know. I get confused.
San Diego was the game that he got that Gordon got hurt.
Yeah, Seattle ran all over them. But they have been better than I expected. Okay. So that's it for that game. And Jordan Reed killed people, and that sucks, and we're sorry.
He just shut it down.
He was in a lot of pain.
He tried to shut it down by breaking his fingers.
But he was in such obvious pain, you know? Probably shouldn't have been playing.
Every time. And then they're having him block. I didn't understand that.
Looked like some emotional pain as well.
Probably. Okay, injuries, news, and notes. Jacksonville GM Dave Caldwell, as I mentioned, he said next year's coach will not be required to stick with Blake Bortles. Nobody cares in terms of this year.
We will not tie both of your hands behind your back while you coach our team.
Darren Sproles is expected to play this week. He has a Thursday game against the Giants. Did you move down Ryan Matthews with that news?
No, not much, no.
No.
Janoris Jenkins, same game. Well, first of all, Shane Vereen out for the year. Janoris Jenkins, bruised back, but no internal injuries. You probably won't see him this week, short week at Philadelphia. Darius Slay may not be able to play at Dallas on Monday night.
He's not playing.
Okay. And then, you know, Green Bay, both of their offensive guards got hurt on the final drive of the game. Neither injury is considered serious, but I know we're going to say if Ty Montgomery's out there, you got to pick up Ty Montgomery. Would this change anything if their guards are hurt against Minnesota?
No.
What are they going to do if they can't run?
Aaron Rodgers in the shotgun, BB passes all over the field.
A lot of,
and hopefully Devontae Adams catches some end zone targets this time instead of last week when he dropped two surefire touchdowns.
Yeah. But if Montgomery can't find places to run, he's going to catch balls in the flat.
Yeah, Montgomery's still a great start. So he may be our starter of the week.
Terrell Pryor has a torn ligament in his finger. He needs off-season surgery, but he will try to play through it. So,
Yeah. What do you think that's going to do to his stats?
Right. And do you expect the following players? Lamar Miller against Cincinnati.
Yes.
Yep.
Theo Riddick at Dallas.
No.
How about Dante Moncrief at Oakland?
How about no?
How about Adam Thielen at Green Bay?
Do you have a Thielen, Dave?
Listen, I've got no Thielen left because my fantasy teams where I started Thielen got thumped.
Yeah, or started insert Viking here.
I started Adam Thielen and Ty Montgomery's on the bench in one league where I would have won if I had just done the opposite.
Why?
Why? Because I thought Thielen would have a good week.
You had Thielen like number 13.
I liked him this week. Yeah, thought he'd be able to. I thought Minnesota would play a hell of a lot better than they actually did.
Right.
Yeah. Oops. Ladarius Green against Baltimore. Do you expect him?
No.
And CJ Fedorowicz against Cincinnati.
Not as of now.
Please no.
Whew. Tough one there with Ladarius Green. Okay. To the waiver wire. So there are three wide receivers who are owned in 80 or 81% of leagues. Just for the shallow league owner here, Kenny Britt against San Francisco, Alshon Jeffrey against Washington, and DeSean Jackson at Chicago. I'm going to just assume DeSean Jackson is your favorite and is a must-add, but Kenny Britt and Alshon Jeffrey, if you saw them on your waiver wire, Britt against San Francisco, maybe with the third-string quarterback, and Jeffrey going up probably against Josh Norman, would you be adding either of them?
You think they're going to move Norman around? They didn't really move him around last night.
Right. Now, they might change that.
Right.
You never know from week to week. But for most of the season, I think they've kept Norman on one side of the field and Breland.
Except when
Breland moved around. They put Breland on Olsen for a
while. Yeah, I'd go with Alshon.
Yeah, Alshon.
Over Britt, of course.
Yeah, but Alshon over Dontrell Inman, Alshon over Pierre Garçon.
Mm-hmm. Definitely Garçon. I think I have him and Inman back-to-back.
Okay. So the three players that Jamie had who are above the 65% threshold that are must-add guys, is that fair to say must-add for all three of them?
Yeah.
Ty Montgomery at Minnesota, Jerick McKinnon. No, this game is in Green Bay, sorry. Ty Montgomery against Minnesota, Jerick McKinnon at Green Bay, and Deion Lewis against the Jets. What do you guys, Dave and Jamie, you know, Heath and Chris talked about it on the podcast yesterday. What do you think about Deion Lewis getting his 18 carries yesterday? Or Sunday?
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Game plan.
I think game script really laid that out for him.
So what do you think this week against the Jets?
Not as many. Maybe not even half as many.
Yeah.
Still like him, though.
We were trying to set an over-under on Deion Lewis carries yesterday.
What did you say?
7.5.
See, I might take the over on that because I think he can get you. Or, I think 8-9 range is right there for the taking. But this should be the opposite of what they did last week against Denver.
Okay. So would you rather pick up Kenneth Farrow or Deion Lewis?
I'll play the matchup with Farrow.
Farrow?
As long as things keep sounding questionable with Melvin.
Okay. And then McKinnon is interesting.
The one thing, though, Adam, is since Farrow's already at 60%, these are probably 10-team leagues that are looking at both guys. Like, I had somebody tweet me last night, hey, Montgomery's on my waiver wire. Should I go get him? Duh.
right.
But, you know, if that's the scenario, you're getting, you know, smaller leagues. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
For both these guys.
Right, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he's only 69% owned, but it's hard. He's not available. Montgomery's not available in any of my leagues. McKinnon has been a PPR superstar lately. He's got four straight games with, he had four straight games with nine or more carries before Peterson came back, but 20 catches in his last three games. Now, can you really call McKinnon a must add if Adrian Peterson plays?
I would call McKinnon a must add in PPR. At this point, you could argue he's their best receiver, or maybe the second best behind Rudolph.
And okay. So you're certainly looking at a game where they're probably going to play from behind, and McKinnon can catch a bunch of dump-off passes and screens and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah, standard, I would say no. PPR, I would say yes. That's more where he lies.
So let's see if I won. Oh, I did! I won in draft! Yes! Ah, good for me. I finished second.
You didn't know until right now?
Look at that. I hadn't checked. I forgot. So I did the draft app. I did two leagues against listeners, two contests, six player contests. I finished second in both of them. So I won $1.80 in both of them. They were dollar.
So
contests.
You beat our listeners.
I did beat
you
our listeners.
Our listeners' money.
Not all of our listeners.
You're a jerk.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like, hey, come play this app. Come play against me. I'll take your money. That is. Yeah.
And then I'll giggle about it on the show.
My team, you want to know my team? Derek Carr, Devontae Freeman, DeMarco Murray, Odell Beckham, and Devontae Adams. That was a winner. Phillip Rivers, Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, Odell Beckham, and Amari Cooper. That was a winner. So
what were
I
your
had
teams
a
in
those.
The leagues that you advanced?
What's that?
What were your teams in the leagues where you advanced?
The fantasy leagues?
Yeah, because since you won a wow with all your teams, keep going.
Oh, well, I will just say this. I did advance in the two-quarterback league, and now I'm getting Julio and A.J. Green back. You better watch out. Anyway, draft is great. Heath and I really had a great time playing. The listeners are having a great time playing. I'm getting a lot of tweets. People want to challenge me. In fact, I'm just getting a lot of challenges. I get these notifications on my phone. Somebody's challenged you in draft. So go to the App Store, download Draft right now. Search Draft in the App Store. It's going to come up first. Enter the promo code FFToday. When you download, you're going to get 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. Again, so you download Draft, you enter that promo code FFToday. That's a lot, though. 100% bonus on up to $600. And your chances of winning money on Draft are three times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. It's a really cool app. I think you're all going to enjoy it. All right, to the quarterbacks that we're picking up this week. So Colin Kaepernick, Matt Barkley, and Matt Moore are the three that Jamie has listed. Let me just get this out of the way. People might be asking, you're going to start Kaepernick, Matt Barkley, or Matt Moore over Aaron Rodgers this week?
No.
No.
Okay. Got it out of the way. Kaepernick at the Rams. How you feeling about this one?
You got to like the track record of how quarterbacks have played against the Rams. And I've been far from, you know, outspoken about Kaepernick. There's a chance the 49ers can win a game and maybe even sweep the Rams in the process. I think Colin Kaepernick is in the top 12 hunt, if not in the top 12. And I think the chance of him finding a couple of touchdowns and leading the Niners to a victory is very possible.
I think you actually like Colin Kaepernick more than I do this week.
What yeah,
do you
have
for the first time all season?
Yeah,
he's top 15 for me, but not top 12. I think you kind of the game you got from him this past week is what you're getting. 19 to 21 points. He would add 21 if he didn't have the fumble.
I would start him over Eli. I would start him over Stafford. I would start him over Palmer. Those are the guys
yes.
that you've probably started this year.
Three.
Yep.
I don't know if there's anybody else that you've been starting that I would start him over.
The one that I struggle with is Dak.
Yeah. I struggle with Dak, and I'm struggling with Kirk Cousins, too.
Oh, I think Cousins
you don't like that.
I don't like that. It's a short week, shorter than normal for teams that play on Monday.
You know,
he's on the road.
Not to defend Kirk Cousins because he ticked me off, obviously, but his receivers were awful. Uh-huh. Drop passes
yeah,
all over
sure.
the place.
He wasn't
and so,
good. I thought
he wasn't great, and he's been struggling lately. But I think this is a get-right game for him.
Dak Prescott completed 32 of 36 passes on Sunday night. Unbelievable.
He was awesome.
He played great, and he only scored 19 fantasy points. Deserved more. And they are without Darius Slay, but still the Lions have proven to be a pretty fairly tough matchup for quarterbacks recently. They just haven't played great ones. So, yeah, I could see that being a tough call. Dak or Kaepernick. I had a feeling you were going to say that because that's kind of what I was going to ask you. And then you said you're having trouble with the two of them. All right, Kaepernick, Barkley, and Matt Moore. So, you know, Barkley, 18 fantasy points. If he throws a lot, he's typically scoring fantasy points. And they are facing Washington this week. So
he just has to avoid the turnovers. That's been killing him.
Yeah.
Is this a Jordan Howard game?
Oh, yeah.
It should be.
Absolutely. They can't.
You're not starting Barkley in your championship in a one quarterback league.
Yeah.
He's a 2 QB option.
Yeah. The place I'd be in trouble is if I had Palmer and Stafford.
Yeah, then you're hitting the waiver wire. That's the name you might
I might
at.
Start Barkley over those two.
Yes. What about him versus Matt Moore?
I've got Moore one spot higher.
I got Barkley higher, but it's close.
I think I like Moore a little better. I think that his matchup is more. It's not a better matchup, I guess, statistically, or maybe it is, but I just feel like Moore's going to have to throw. Whereas
well,
Barkley
he's going to throw
not.
More.
Yeah.
Back-to-back road games in the division are tough.
That's
hey, look,
true.
The Ravens linebacker situation, or it's not, sorry, the Redskins linebacker situation is bad. And Jonathan Stewart looked like, I don't know, one of the best I've ever seen Jonathan Stewart look last night.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was
and
hot.
So, you know, Jordan Howard could have just a monster game, unless they get healthier. I don't know, either way. And
Matt Barkley's status, honestly, is dependent on how the Redskins offense plays too.
You know, with Carson Palmer, are we sure the Seahawks are an automatic sit without Earl Thomas?
I don't want to trust him.
He's done pretty well lately.
Palmer?
Yeah.
It's just a bad spot for him.
Yeah, it's a terrible spot.
Yeah.
Team just got eliminated. I think they'll still play hard, but they don't have anything to play for. Going on the road to Seattle.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, we saw the Vikings defense without Harrison Smith and what kind of difference that made. We've seen the Seahawks defense without Cam Chancellor. We've seen the Seahawks defense without Earl Thomas. It's a really big difference.
Yeah, I think if it's – like if this was Andrew Luck going into Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably a bad thing to say because we just saw Luck go into Minnesota and surprise us.
Right, so if he went into Seattle,
no,
I'm trying to think
of somebody else. So it's a better comparison. If there was another quarterback that's been playing well going into the spot, you feel a bit better about it. Like your point is valid, Adam. I just don't know if you could trust Palmer at this point because Fitzgerald's letting him down. Grasso's playing hurt. They're so lean, so David Johnson heavy. You know he's not going to get the J.J. Nelson, John Brown touchdowns that he got last week against the Saints.
Yeah, right. I think it's just. Starting Kaepernick over him, yeah, having a stomach Matt Barkley would be tough for me, but I get it. Look, the quarterbacks are boring. Let's go to the running backs and the wide receivers, but first it's Team Name Tuesday. Oh, I forgot to take them out of the notes, so don't cheat. Don't look. This is from,
oh, no.
This is from Han Shin.
Don't look.
Adam, if you're having a buddy officiate your wedding, you can name your team. We got a friend, Demarius.
Oh, do you want me to officiate your wedding too?
No, thanks, but if I did... We got Jamie Demarius. Like Demarius. Tamarius. Yeah.
You know, Phillip Rivers is keeping this close. I may not get to your rehearsal dinner.
Oh, yeah. It's a big week for Bortles.
Yep.
Then he says, insert crickets here. So, yeah, crickets. Yeah, this is from Chuck. Terrible. Chuck says, dear, some version of Vern, Teddy, Chris, and Gordy. Come on, Verno. Oh, you guys suck. Stand by me. Brait Rawls of Pryor.
You know, I like.
Okay. Running
back. I think that's more clever than funny.
That's good.
Like,
that's
he found a way to use NFL player names to sound like a famous song.
But you know what? I think Great Balls of Fire is in the movie Stand By Me. I think it's the mailbox baseball scene. Is that what they're... You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, great. Running backs. Kenneth Farrow.
Oh, good. That's over.
That's one of the best movies I've ever seen. So, respect it.
Is it a Christmas movie?
No.
No, it's not.
But it has slightly less death than Die Hard, so, you know. Derrick Henry. So, let's stop there. Kenneth Farrow, you know, I'll ask you where you have him ranked. But Derrick Henry, Jamie, you talked about him at the top of the show. You think he's going to have a good game. Henry is facing the Jaguars, and he only gets about 8 or 9, maybe 10 carries a game, gets some touchdowns. You confident in him?
Confident is a tough word to use with right. him, but he scored against Jacksonville last time these two teams met. He had 12 carries two games ago. He had the two touchdowns last week, so they're giving him more work. There's an opportunity here for them to, you know, use him to close the game out if, in fact, they're winning, which they should be. He's just been playing better and getting more involved, so, you know, he's a borderline number two guy for me this week.
Is Derrick Henry the best touchdown vulture? We talked about those guys yesterday, Heath. Turbin, Gillisley, Henry, Hightower. Is Derrick Henry the best one to have?
Yeah, man, I had a tough time between Gillisley and Henry. Mm-hmm. I think I might lean Gillisley.
Gillisley's more consistent at it.
Yeah.
Do you think Derrick Henry gets as much work if the Titans are trailing in a game?
No.
Or weren't they trailing last week and he scored two touchdowns?
It was more, they were trailing, but it's not like they were getting blown out.
Right. They're not getting blown out this week, though.
No
chance. Well, that's the point I was going to make, is that I feel like he's safer than he normally would be because they're in a game where, at the very least, it'll be competitive. At the very most, it'll be a Titans blowout. In either way, that script is good for Henry. And he's been giving you a minimum of 40 yards on top of, you know, the touchdown potential.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to probably debate this one all the way through Saturday between Henry and Gillisley.
All right, what are your expectations for Kenneth Farrow this week?
He's probably going to average below 4 yards per carry. He's got a good chance of scoring, good chance of getting more carries than he had last week.
15 to 20 touches.
Ooh, that's bold.
Well, you would take the workload he had last week.
He had 17 touches last week.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah.
It felt like he had less than that.
No, he was involved.
So 15 to 20 touches, somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 yards and a touchdown, hopefully?
Yeah.
Are you going to prefer Mark Ingram against Tampa Bay or Kenneth Farrow at Cleveland?
Ingram right now.
Ingram, especially now that he's pissed.
I guess that was all false.
Yeah, he doesn't. He wasn't, I was fake read pissed. That he had no contract.
No, he was pissed, but the reported reason as to why he was pissed was not true.
Yeah, he was pissed because he lost out on $200,000.
No, he didn't.
That was not true.
Yeah, I'm going to believe that's true.
I don't think that is true. I read specifically he does not have any incentive in his contract. It seems like that is not the case.
The Saints tweeted out that it was incorrect, which they could not be telling the truth. But maybe it wasn't like an incentive in his contract, but it was like this incentive system they had in the locker room where they all put money into a pot and get money for certain things.
Don't go there. Do not. Okay. Kenneth Farrow. Kenneth Farrow or Todd Gurley this week. Gurley with the Niners.
Gurley.
I'll go Gurley.
Gurley.
Kenneth Farrow or Jeremy Hill at Houston?
Hill.
I'll also take Hill.
All right.
Hill.
We're not that excited about Kenneth Farrow.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way.
No, barely top 20.
Other running backs you could pick up: Paul Perkins, Justin Forsett, Charles Sims, Duke Johnson. Paul Perkins, Justin Forsett, Charles Sims, Duke Johnson. Jamie, anything you want to talk about with these guys?
I mean, Perkins should start to get more work. I don't know how many weeks in a row we're going to say this.
Well, Vereen's on IR.
Yeah, but that's tend to, at least recently, benefit Jennings more than Perkins, just in terms of the catches.
Yeah. It will.
They haven't really used Perkins since his disaster of pass blocking earlier this year.
So what's the rotation between them? It's Jennings who starts. Jennings gets more work, but not a ton more work.
I think Jennings will still get... The thing that was frustrating was they were giving Jennings work in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Like, why not give Perkins the opportunity to flash in a against a tired defense?
What's Duke Johnson's ownership?
57%.
57%?
Yeah. I am in there, don't I?
Yeah. Last
okay,
one.
I missed it.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Perkins goes, I feel like he'd be a pretty good long-term pickup, but, you know, it's week 16, so who knows? They get about the same amount of carries every week, and he is just so much better than...
Yeah, I think at this point, though, I feel more comfortable with Perkins over Peterson or Forte.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the only thing I'd say to wrap up the Perkins thing is if the Giants score a rushing touchdown, I think it's more likely to be Jennings.
I agree.
I would agree with that, too.
Yeah. Okay. Again, you're not starting Forsett. You're probably not starting Charles Sims. He's at 7 touches and 6 touches in 2 games. And Duke Johnson, it's week 16. You've got a good team. There are no buys. You're probably not starting them. Now, the wide receivers, on the other hand, Dontrell Inman at Cleveland. And, yeah, he had 8 targets last week, and he had 3 good games before that, and he had his most targets in 4 games. So 52% owned. Don't sleep on Inman at Cleveland. Cameron Meredith, 9 catches, 104 yards on 13 targets, and he's got Washington. Pierre Garçon at Chicago. And then Robbie Anderson, you know, might depend on who's their quarterback. All right, let's start with those 4. Inman, Meredith, Garçon, and Robbie Anderson. That's how Jamie has them ranked. Dave, Heath, what do you think about those 4?
I like Meredith the best. I think the Bears are going to keep leaning on him. I think in the slot, that's where you attack against Washington. And I think the matchup's pretty good for him.
I feel
the best about him, especially in PPR.
I have Inman ranked the highest because there's a chance that he's the only fully healthy wide receiver for San Diego this week against a great matchup in Cleveland. If you told me for sure today that Bryce Petty was starting, then Robbie Anderson would be right there with him.
He'd be higher.
It's obviously going to be Christmas Eve in Cleveland. Could be awful weather. So you do have to...
A lot of bad weather spots.
Yeah. Yeah. Tis the season. Man, it's cold out there. Woo.
Yeah, diehard season.
Is I actually left the house yesterday and went to the holiday party in the city and freezing my little tootsies off, guys. So.
Aw.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Thank you. All right, these are not bad options. Dave, do you like Cameron Meredith better than Alshon Jeffrey?
I don't believe I do, but they're pretty close.
Okay. More wide receivers you could look at. Chris Hogan, Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills has double-digit fantasy points in 4 of his last 6 games. The other 2 games, he had 3 and 2 fantasy points, so, you know.
Are you guys starting Stills over Parker?
Yes.
I don't think I'm there yet.
Yes. His numbers in the last 7 games, just better.
Marquise Lee, no catches last week. Ted Ginn, no love for Ted Ginn.
Oh, no, Ginn should be higher.
Yeah, Jamie, you sure? You don't want to move Ginn up?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
I think we'll just overlook him again.
Again.
Uh-huh.
Who would you, Dave, would you take Ginn over Chris Hogan or Kenny Stills?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Eli Rogers.
Against the Jets.
You like Hogan against the Jets, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
I like Mitchell against the Jets.
I like Mitchell against the Jets, too.
Do you guys know the answer to this? If the Patriots win, regardless of what the Raiders do they clinch the 1 seed?
Yes.
Okay. So, good chance that they are not playing for anything in Week 17. Again. And Travis Benjamin, you know, 50% owned, 3 targets, 2 catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown last week against Oakland. Benjamin is at Cleveland this week. Let's go to the tight ends. The injuries you need to know about, Ladarius Green and C.J. Fedorowicz have concussions. We'll see about them. Green does play on Sunday, Fedorowicz on Saturday. The priority list has Hunter Henry, number 1. Are you moving Henry above Gates now?
Yep.
Okay. Ryan Griffin, number 2. We talked about those two at the top of the show. Charles Clay caught his only 2 touchdowns in weeks 14 and 15. Will he do it again against Miami in week 16? And Deion Sims in that same game and Garrett Celek. So, yeah. You know, is it fair that Henry and Griffin are the only ones that are going to flirt with your top 12 this week?
Yes.
Sims is, I think he might be 12th for me.
Whoa. I would probably have Clay ahead of Sims.
Yeah, Clay to me is going to be a big letdown this week.
He might be, but Miami's not very good at covering tight ends.
No, but he's also not very good. He
That's
had
true.
The fluky touchdown against Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and then he did what everybody does, which is why you got to like Henry this week. He scored against Cleveland.
Yeah.
So don't buy into Charles Clay and Deion Sims is also probably going to let a lot of people down too.
So
I like his involvement though. Like, I don't think Deion Sims is going
no,
away.
No, he's a good red zone threat.
And this is part of the reason why all the receivers are kind of nerve-wracking in Miami.
Did you like his involvement? He got 4 targets, and Charles Clay got 7. And Clay gets 6 or 7 every week.
Yeah, Matt
yeah,
Moore,
I like Clay better than Sims.
Matt
Sims,
Moore
Sims
threw,
is touchdown or bust. Clay is just bust.
Matt Moore threw 18 passes, right?
Right.
So keep that in mind. They're not going to be winning by 30. I doubt
That's a good point.
At Buffalo. Okay, the DSTs. Yeah, you know, we've talked a lot. We like the Packers, Chargers, Titans. You can go with the Rams. I like the Giants. I think probably all like the Giants at Philadelphia, right?
Yep.
I do. I like them better than the Rams.
Okay. The Patriots, they're 91% owned, which kind of surprised me. And their pass rush has gotten a lot better lately. So, yeah, I think you guys like them a lot. I know you answered this earlier. I forgot. Would you start the Packers or the Chargers over the Patriots?
No, Patriots are my number one DST this week.
Okay. And we don't like Minnesota at Green Bay. Other DSTs you could look at, Redskins are at Chicago. Atlanta's at Carolina. It's kind of interesting. You know, I was thinking about this game and Ted Ginn and Atlanta, and with the way Atlanta's getting it to the quarterback, could be tough for Cam. You know, when his offensive line fails him, he's terrible. I don't know. Do you guys feel like this might be a bad matchup?
Could be.
Yeah. Because Carolina has given up a lot of fantasy points to DSTs. They didn't last night. They played great last night. But I think
Cam's going to have to, like, if he's really bad in the first half, then they're going to be down by 2 or 3 scores, and the game script is going to make him decent for fantasy in the second half. Yeah. It's hard for me to see Atlanta shutting them down for an entire game.
And I don't see Atlanta blasting them like they blasted the last 2 teams that they faced.
I think Atlanta is one of the more underrated teams.
They're good.
They're going to be tough for whoever gets that wild card.
They're good. You just got to hope that Matt Ryan doesn't have a playoff Matt Ryan moment.
Yeah. Cincinnati's at Houston. That's not bad at all. So there are a lot of good options. If you need a Week 17 DST, the Vikings, if the Vikings get dropped this week, they face the Bears next week. The Colts have the Jaguars. Dallas is at Philadelphia. The Dolphins host New England in what is likely a meaningless game for the Patriots. I'm not sure that's great for the Dolphins DST because, you know, the Patriots still good. Buffalo is at the Jets. Tennessee against Houston. Pittsburgh.
Week 17 for the Patriots is Jimmy Garoppolo's audition for the Browns.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh faces the Browns.
Out there?
No.
And Arizona's at the Rams.
Both, yeah, maybe.
So there are plenty of good options. You do not have to stash a DST. Repeat, you do not have to stash a DST. You need a kicker for this week? You know, Nick Novak almost won me a fantasy league. Stupid Jonathan Stewart beat me last night. What was that all about? But Nick Novak against Cincinnati. Remember, you want good weather. You want good weather here. You want, like, warm climates or domes. So Novak, Caleb Sturgis against the Giants. That's an interesting one, Jamie. Is he getting a lot of points lately?
Who?
Caleb Sturgis.
He's great at home.
Okay. Will Lutz against Tampa Bay. Ryan Succop at Jacksonville. Graham Gano against Atlanta. Let's spend the next 10 minutes on listener questions. I got some tweets. I've got some emails. I have, you know what? I'm gonna go out of order here because we are very thankful to all of our military listeners and even
yes.
the military men and women who don't listen. So let's do a military email here from Scott. From a city in South Korea not named Seoul. I'll tell you guys. He and his family are stationed at Osan Air Base in Osan, South Korea. Here we go. Instead of a normal opening where you figure out who the names are, I want you to figure out what the following men have in common. Ted Williams, Neil Armstrong, Ed McMahon, and Michael Caine.
All served in the military?
They all served in the Korea War. Cool. All right, here's the question from Scott. It's been an interesting year with the football game starting at 3 a.m. on Monday morning in Korea. What has been the same is the podcast. I appreciate the fantasy advice, but I listen for all the banter and the poking fun at each other. Dave's pizza tasting was classic. Please keep Team Name Tuesday and the Bonanza. Dude, come on, we're gonna really deny the Bonanza? Scott, our military man telling me to keep it. I have to keep it now. And I do have one question for Adam. How is it possible that Jamie is not invited to your rehearsal dinner? Are you guys not as close as you sound on the air?
Yeah, you're a big jerk.
No, because I can't invite everyone to the rehearsal dinner. Everybody has different guidelines on who should be at the rehearsal dinner. Is it just the wedding party and close friends?
What about when you lose a bet and you're supposed to live up to the parameters of that bet?
I did not agree to that.
You did.
Pretty sure you did.
You can't come to the rehearsal dinner. Okay.
It's so weak.
I'd have too many people.
I told you, I don't want to come to your rehearsal dinner. I'm going to come give a toast to your rehearsal dinner.
It's not happening. So,
like, he's not going to eat. You don't have to order extra
food. Yeah, you don't have to pay for me.
You don't need an extra chair. This has nothing to do with the size of the rehearsal dinner or how many people you can have there. This is not.
There will be no toasts. No toasts at the rehearsal dinner.
It's happening. We can find out where it is. We'll bring our own megaphone.
Allie and I are friends now.
On Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
We've met. That was the worst thing you did was let me meet her.
You're a very lucky man for having met her. Okay. The question from Scott. We have a 12-team league with $20 dues. How much of the pot should the winner get? We got a $240 league. How much of the pot should the winner get? What do you think?
All of it?
Nah.
How many people?
12.
And it's 240?
Yeah.
I'd go 200 to first, 40 to the championship loser.
Yep.
Okay, I was going to say 180, 40, and maybe 20 for the third place. Or
no, you know what I like better than third place that we just started doing in one of my leagues is 20 for the regular season champion.
Points leader or record?
Just the number one seed.
Okay. You could do points leader. I actually like that a little bit better to sort of take away all the luck and just reward the fantasy owner who scored the most points. What do you think? Not feeling it?
Either one.
Heath? Okay, what? Okay, back to the emails. Some ad drop questions from Luis. Should I drop Dante Moncrief to add Meredith or Hunter Henry or Kenneth Farrell?
It all depends on what you need, and I'm not in a rush to drop Dante Moncrief because I don't know what his status is going to be for Week 16. We're saying that he's not going to play, but if he does play, it's Oakland on the road. Should be a nice scoring game. Should be able to find the end zone there.
I'm not going to say a B word. I might.
Already?
I'm just giving myself some possibilities here.
I mean,
you can't. You're breaking your rule then. You're using Oakland 2 weeks in a row.
That's your rule. You always make all these rules for me. I don't.
You said that.
I thought the rule was only for the Saints.
Yeah.
Just so he doesn't do the Saints every week.
Saints 2 weeks in a row.
How about just no more bonanzas already?
You
broke the rule. We got you verified.
I might give the listeners a break. I might not do it. Would you drop Moncrief for Meredith, Henry, or Farrell? Hunter Henry.
If I was loaded at wide receiver and I needed a tight end or a running back.
Yeah, I'm not dropping
him for
Meredith.
I would drop him for Henry or Farrell, but I wouldn't drop him for Meredith.
Okay. This is
not yet anyway. Once he's ruled out, then yeah. Kick his butt to the curb.
This is from Lane Odell. Would you drop Crowder or Farrow for Inman or Deion Lewis? Drop Crowder or Farrow for Inman or Deion Lewis?
You could probably get away with dropping Crowder for either one of those guys.
Yep. And if you're stuck at running back, I'd rather have Lewis in PPR than Farrow.
Farrow's against Cleveland, though.
And he's against the Jets. I mean,
it's not even close to the same thing. Cleveland's a much better matchup.
It is, but it's still a crappy player.
Don't you think New England's going to throw way more than they did last week?
Sure.
Saying that's going to be good for Lewis?
I just think Lewis is better in PPR. I don't dislike Farrow. I just think Lewis is a little bit better.
Okay. From Yaki, which D is best for week 17? The Patriots against the Dolphins, the Colts against Jacksonville, or the Bills against the Jets?
Insert Blake Bortles GIF here.
Ah, gosh, I have no faith in the Colts. Their defense is
Colts defense has been playing a little better lately.
If the Bills win this week, I take the Bills next week against the Jets.
Because they're still in it?
Yeah, yes. And it's Rex against his former team.
You might want to take them anyway because it's Rex against his former
team. Yeah,
Rex's last game as a head coach.
Not if they win out.
You don't think he gets fired
if
they win out?
No, not if they win out.
All right, Charles Sawyer. Is Deion Lewis worthy of a keeper in the eighth round next year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Next question from Sean. Should I drop the Cardinals DST to pick up the Chargers?
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely for the Chargers, but really for anybody.
Okay. Next question from JP. Waiver claim and start Bortles or start Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers. I'd go Rodgers. There's too much risk with Bortles.
Yeah. And Travis Brock, drop the Bonanza and add a new podcast host?
Wow.
Wow.
Tweet of the day?
Somebody had a lot of Chargers and Raiders in his lineup.
Me. Like, that's the thing. You know how burned I survived, I guess. But I should have been burned by Carr and Cooper and Farrow. I played Farrow over Rob Kelly. I mean, I had a hunch. I thought he was going to have a really good game. It's not like I just screwed the listeners and had nothing at stake here. I really thought they were all were going to do well. And so did everybody, by the way. It wasn't just me. But it was my fault for being a sorcerer. Email from Addison from Atlanta. There's no greeting. Sorry. Jonathan Stewart or DeAndre Hopkins at flex this week?
Stewart.
Stewart is safer.
Yep.
Jimmy Graham or Zach Ertz?
Ertz.
Yep.
Okay. This is from Christian. Where's he from?
Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Which
I think I've done recently.
Where are all the greetings, people? Should I start the Giants DST or the Cardinals DST?
Giants.
In another league, should I start the Seahawks DST or the Titans DST?
Seahawks.
Big Ben or Tyrod Taylor?
Ben.
Drew Brees or Tyrod Taylor?
Brees.
This is from Matthew. Where is he from?
Madison, Illinois.
Matthew from Madison, Illinois. He's complaining about Jordan Reed, which is fair. Any other possible lineup than the one I chose, and I win this week. Cost myself at least a couple $100 by starting old number 86, Jordan Reed, amongst others like the Vikings DST and Matthew Stafford. Worst possible way to lose, I lost by 7 points with David Johnson and LeSean McCoy both in my lineup. This is when fantasy football is not fun. It's tough.
That is really an uplifting way to end the podcast.
I got one more. Where's Jan from?
Grenoble, France.
Would you drop Ladarius Green for Charles Clay and or Hunter Henry? And which one would you start?
Henry.
I would go Henry.
Yep.
If Green plays, who would you guys prefer?
Still might go Henry.
You're not going to know, though.
Because it's Green against Baltimore.
Yep.
Green's a Sunday game, right?
Yeah, Baltimore, not a bad matchup for tight ends. Yeah, but Green is a Sunday game. And that's a tough one. I wouldn't want to drop Green, but I understand why you would have to with the concussion. Maybe you can drop someone else.
Well, like in most leagues, this is it. Like if you're dropping him, if he's not playing this week, there's no value in Ladarius Green.
I want to start Ladarius Green, I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I'd like to have the option. If Green plays, I personally would rather start him over Hunter Henry.
I agree.
So I don't want to drop him and somebody else and my opponent picks him up and plays him against me. That's all. Here's a guy who has to pick up Ty Montgomery, but he's only allowed one ad. And he wants to know, here's the problem. Mike owns the Cardinals DST. We don't want to start them at Seattle. And the Lions DST. You cannot start them at Dallas. So he wants to pick up Ty Montgomery, but he can only make one ad drop. So he has to go either Ty Montgomery or the Patriots DST. So what would you do?
Well, wait a minute. You could always petition your commissioner to have the league vote on whether or not you could have an extra ad drop.
No
and
way.
Maybe the commissioner will be goofy enough to let the league vote on it.
I think you got to go with the Pats DST, as tough as that is. You are not like...
Go ahead. What DST does he have now?
Cardinals.
Who are his running backs slash
receivers?
He has
Arizona and Detroit. But we had a big part of the equation that we don't have the answer to.
Yeah. If he gets Ty Montgomery, who's he starting?
Who's he starting Ty Montgomery over? And who is his opponent? Because his opponent's going to pick up Ty Montgomery if he doesn't. Who's his opponent starting Ty Montgomery over? I think you're probably picking up Montgomery.
There is no debate to this.
Oh, there is 100% a debate. I'm not.
Oh, I think there's a debate to this.
There's a debate.
Not, what else is there?
I think once you see all the other part, like maybe these two guys both have a bunch of guys where it doesn't make a big difference, but I think Ty Montgomery's probably a top 12 wide receiver this week.
He's easily a top 12 wide receiver this week.
Yeah.
Or top 12 running back. The other part of it is though, if he doesn't start Montgomery, whether or not his opponent does, the Patriots could win him this week.
Yeah. I mean,
so could Montgomery.
But if he's not going to play, if he's not going to play Montgomery, the Patriots, the difference between the Patriots and the Cardinals and Lions.
I understand what you're saying. And yeah. Do we have, it's not clear if he's picking him up to play keep away, right? He just says pick him up.
Right.
And
I
we've
don't know
seen the Patriots team. With a lot of good matchups this year just score like 5 or 6 fantasy points because they don't really get turnovers.
Yeah, but if they're going
the
up against Bryce
against
Petty,
everybody, give right. up a lot of great fantasy points to opposing
That's
defenses.
True.
I actually don't like them if Fitzpatrick starts.
I still like him either way.
I like him either way. I don't like him as much.
That team's a tragedy.
They're pretty bad. All right, that's it for the show. Thank you, guys.
Did we give him an answer?
No, we're a little split on this one.
Maybe
split.
He needs to write back and let us know like what the situation is.
He will. I got faith in him.
Thanks for speaking.
Except if we won't know because he's going to run waivers tonight.
No, he'll respond and he'll reply to me and I'll reply.
You can tweet
him.
Us.
Okay. For Dave, Jamie, and Heath, I'm Adam. We're best friends. See you later.
Bye.